You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Screen Heroes Podcast, your film podcast here on the Heroes Podcast Network. I am your host, Derek, and I have with me back both of my lovely regular co-hosts after 2 weeks with only one of each of them. We're all back. We're here. And those people are Ryan.
Hi.
And Ray.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Welcome back, guys.
Hey, hey.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be back.
This is the longest drought, I believe, our show has had without all three of us together for an episode. So
it is. Yeah, we had a... We had Rachel had a baby pop out of her, and I had an appendix try and pop out of me, and then some work stuff. But yeah, overall, it's been a minute.
Yeah, yeah, it's been intense. I'm glad you were able to wrangle your appendix, though.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
Thanks for not stealing my baby, Thunder.
Yeah, hey, I wanted to let you have all the things come out of you that you want to come out of you. I'm just a nice guy that way.
Perfect.
Fantastic. Well, this week we are talking The Witches from 1990 in honor of the HBO Max remake coming out, well, today, if you're listening to the show on its normal release.
And of course, you know, Halloween. In honor of Halloween.
Well, yes, in honor of Halloween, we are talking about The Witches, yes. But there is a remake coming out this week on October 22nd on HBO Max, starring Anne Hathaway and an assortment of other A-listers. And we decided to take a look at the original version of the film as we continue our Halloween month celebration, which has been fun. We talked Ghostbusters, we talked our top 10 favorite Halloween time movies, and now we're talking The Witches, which... I didn't realize it was a Jim Henson production, which is crazy.
Was it actually Henson Studios?
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Okay. I knew they did a bunch of the work for it. I didn't realize it was. I guess I wasn't paying attention to that. I guess it does say on your poster back there, "From the Imagination of Jim Henson," but that could mean anything, really.
He was an executive producer.
Well, I knew that much, but so, I didn't realize that it was actually Henson Studios.
Yeah, which is interesting. And we'll get into all of that. But before we dive into the film, we, of course, have our news segment for the week, and we have lots of movie news type stuff to talk about. Let's get the superhero stuff going. We got a bunch of photos from the Chicago outdoor sets for The Batman, which provides a lot of, you know, generic information about the film, you know, like what some of the vehicles look like and kind of the badging of Gotham. And we do have one thing from a taxi, a licensed taxi cab, that says 2019, which means that the Batman movie at least takes place around the year 2019. It does not
take place. Or 1919.
It says 2019.
Oh, it says 2019. Yeah, I thought it just said 19.
No, it says 2019. Yeah.
Never mind. That would have been great, though.
Was it Gotham by Gaslight?
Exactly. They've been tricking us this whole time.
But this does kind of at least seemingly shatter the rumors that this movie was going to take place in the past, and this was the same Batman that Ben Affleck was, but just a younger version, kind of like what they've done with Wonder Woman taking place in the past. But that's not happening. So there you have it, guys. What do you think? Thoughts? Any thoughts on the police cars or any of the photo stuff?
There's people reading way too much shit into it. I noticed that. Have you guys seen the article that was like, oh, it's referencing Flash because there's a lightning bolt on one of the posters for a music festival?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, that's too much.
Really, really trying hard. I mean, there was a newspaper that somebody took up some really close pictures of to where you could read the articles. And one of the articles was pretty much, it didn't name Superman, but it was pretty much specifically about Superman and something that he had done. And it referenced that guy in the sky or something like that. So it, you know, beyond which I'm sure you were going to mention the Halloween pictures, the Halloween costume pictures that came out. But beyond that, it also reinforces that Superman is in universe, a thing that exists, which is interesting considering they said that this was its own universe. I guess that doesn't make it not its own universe, but it, you know, it's hard to have a grounded Batman when you have Superman involved.
It's a little weird, especially when you talk. So it's talking about the Halloween stuff, there's been some photos released of what appears to be a Halloween party that takes place during the film. And there is a person dressed in the very stereotypical, you know, Christopher Reeve style Superman, as well as a woman dressed in the very stereotypical Linda Carter Wonder Woman costumes. So these are, you know, what you could walk into a Spirit Halloween kind of thing and buy, with like the fake muscles and that kind of concept. Does that mean that those characters exist as real heroes in the movie? Maybe the man in the sky is a reference to something else, and it's just meant to throw people off?
Because they were really expecting people to get up close to all the newspaper articles and start taking pictures of them. I mean, usually those articles are nothing. It's just a bunch of repeated words over and over again. So the fact that there's an actual article in there that talks like that, I don't know. And also the content of the article, besides just saying the guy in the sky, was very Superman stuff. You know, you could say, yes, the guy in the sky is describing God, or like, you know, whatever number of things, but it seemed pretty evident that it was a Superman, and it could just be a nod at best, you know, something that was never meant to be seen by anybody, but just fun. But the existence of the costumes makes me believe, and they could just be comic book characters, I guess, in that universe, but I don't know. So it seems like a stretch.
But then that's weird, because now they're comic book characters with where Batman is real, but nobody else is.
Yeah, so I mean, we won't know until the movie is out. I mean, it's fun to speculate, but.
Any thoughts, Ray?
No, not really. I'm trying my best not to look too much into it, because I feel like if we read a lot into a couple Halloween costumes, then our expectations are just going to start getting out of control. Like, if these characters exist in this universe and they're part of the zeitgeist and people dress up as them, then, you know, maybe it is part of some world building that we don't know. If it's just like random superhero costumes and it's not going to be Superman and Wonder Woman, it'll be like slight knockoffs or something, then that's fine too. I really don't care too much about that. I'm more interested in the pictures of Catwoman and John Turturro's Falcone.
Yeah, those definitely give some insight into the actual direction of the movie, rather than just like, is this part of the DC universe? You know, it's
right.
So yeah, that was interesting to see those. And we also got a bunch of pictures of the Batsuit out filming in daylight, including one that's super great meme material that has him like in the full outfit, but then with like a robe over the top of it. That's great.
It's a little silly, because like, what is that hiding at this point?
You're trying to hide the suit, I'm guessing, but
you
like,
can see the whole emblem and everything on the front. Like, that's
well, so everybody's seen it. Like, it's not hiding
anything. He's chilly, okay?
That probably actually is more likely. Although we've all worn costumes that are multiple layers, and you don't really get that cold when it's something like that. I wouldn't think.
Maybe he slept in it, and that he had just woken up and was going to get some coffee.
Or it's like the Lego Batman thing where he's waiting at his lobster thermidor.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, we did see a photo of what appeared to be a funeral with Penguin was there. Bruce Wayne was there. I'm guessing this was for the mayor that got murdered. You saw the murdered mayor in the trailer by Riddler. But you also saw Catwoman and Falcone. And it looks like there's some claw marks on his cheek, which lends itself to a very specific storyline in DC, where Catwoman is his illegitimate child, I believe.
Yes.
So that's interesting. And that was a storyline, a part of The Long Halloween, if I remember right. Is that what it was? Mm-hmm. It was probably part of another story, too. I thought Zero Year or something like that, but it was definitely Long Halloween. And they've already said that that's the direction, or that's something they took a lot of influence from. So. That was verification. I did send it to a good buddy of mine that's a Batman fan. I used to be on Gamer Heroes, John. Some of you may have listened to his podcast. And he said I was reading too much into it when I zoomed in on the scars. But it seemed pretty clear to me that there was three claw-shaped scars there. So And also her, this might be reading too much into it, but her nails were really long and silver. And that kind of looks to me like she's definitely going to have some sort of claws on her suit at some point.
Fair enough.
I could, if somebody told me that I was reading too much into it, I would listen to them. But, you know, whatever. I'm allowed to speculate.
I don't really have anything to add to that, Ray. Do you? No? Okay.
Good talk.
Cool. She's shaking her head no, for those of you who are listening to the podcast.
That is difficult to pick up through audio only. You'd think she would have learned by now, but...
Sorry, you know, guys. I was typing. I didn't want my, like...
It's only been 237 episodes or something like that.
Oh, my God.
It's okay.
I didn't want the mechanical keyboard to get on mic, so that's why I shook my head.
Just embrace it. That's what I do. I just type louder.
No, it's so loud.
Oh boy. All right. Well, let's move on to other things. So we'll go with the bad news and then we'll end on some happy news. So the bad news comes from Jeff Bridges, who is one of my favorite actors. He's the dude, of course, among many, many other wonderful things. And he announced this week that he has cancer. He has lymphoma. He's been diagnosed with lymphoma. I'm just going to quote him here, what he tweeted out. He said, quote, "As the dude would say, new shit has come to light. I have been diagnosed with lymphoma. Although it is a serious disease, I feel fortunate that I have a great team of doctors and the prognosis is good. I am starting treatment and will keep you posted on my recovery. I am profoundly grateful for the love and support my family from my family and friends. Thank you for your prayers and well wishes. Excuse me. So, you know, it's really sad and it's really a bummer. I love him. He's always seemed like a wonderful person and has brought a lot of positivity to people both on and off screen. So I'm definitely bummed out to hear this and I hope that he pulls through and is doing well. And I wish the best to him and his family.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that comes from all of us.
Absolutely. I don't have anything else to add to that.
But yeah, so, you know, that's that. So let's move on to other things. We wish them all the best. The next thing on the list is Hocus Pocus. So it is October. It's Halloween. So we're going to talk Hocus Pocus, even though for some reason the original movie was not released anywhere near Halloween. But that's a separate thing. So they announced a little while ago that Hocus Pocus was getting a long awaited sequel and that all three Sanderson sister actors would be returning. Well, this news is about something else. They are doing a special Halloween event reunion, and the Sanderson sisters released a photo of them behind the scenes. And it really caught me by surprise because I thought this was for the sequel.
Mm-hmm. Not only did they release a photo, but also Doug Jones released a photo of him in the Billy Butcher. Is that the name of the character?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy Butcherson.
Yeah, Butcherson in his makeup and mm-hmm. Prosthetics. So, which is for me equally as exciting, if not more exciting, than seeing the Sanderson sisters, because he was always a great part of that movie and one of my favorite parts. So, yeah, all of it together is wonderful. I'm really excited to see whatever happens with this.
Now, they haven't released photos of people, but it is also been announced that Jamie Lee Curtis and Meryl Streep are a part of this Halloween special. So I don't think we're getting just Hocus Pocus. I think we're also getting some other stuff, maybe a little Halloween, maybe a little like Into the Woods with Meryl Streep in her witchiness outfits. And so who knows? But it's not just Hocus Pocus, and I am kind of excited about that.
Well, Doug Jones, when he posted the photo of himself, he also posted a list of some of the people who are involved.
Right.
And it also includes Billy Crystal, Todrick Hall, Sarah Silverman, Glenn Close. So there's a lot of people. And Martin Short is in here. Wow. John Stamos, Kenan Thompson. So not just horror actors either. So I'm very curious to see what this is all about.
I'm really disappointed that Tom Hanks isn't on that list as David S. Pumpkins.
Oh, yeah. That would be hilarious.
He just shows up like in the middle of the thing, like with some doors and he's dancing. Yeah.
It does say, and many more. So maybe that'll
be a surprise. You wouldn't
have
an event with Tom Hanks and not have Tom Hanks as your headlining name.
It could be a surprise, Ryan.
Mm-mm, they wouldn't do that.
You've just spoiled it for everybody.
They want money.
They want money.
I mean, that's what it all comes down to.
So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. The event is on Friday, October 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and it's an online event, so everyone should be able to join it.
Yeah.
Speaking of online events, there is an online event tonight, too, that you're probably missing if you're watching this live. The Marvel Assemble to Vote.
Yep.
Avengers Assemble to Vote event, I believe, is happening tonight, so that's an interesting thing that I'm kind of sad I'm missing, but I'll be able to go watch a repeat of it, I'm sure, at some point. And that's a good cause too. We all encourage you to go vote, please.
Absolutely. Do it. If your state's got advanced voting, go early. Go.
Yeah. Go often. Oh wait, no, that's don't do that.
Nope. You go the one time, you do the thing, you go home, you get the little sticker, and you can tell everybody.
And then you post it all over social media.
All right, yeah, go do the thing.
Get your free likes.
All right, next up, anything else in the news that you guys want to touch on?
No.
Is there anything we missed? I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then in that case, we will take a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking 1990s The Witches, starring Anjelica Huston. All right, we're back. Let's talk The Witches. Let's do it. This 1990 film starring Anjelica Huston with the Jim Henson Company behind it and Jim Henson himself executive producing did not do well when it was first released. It came in at number 10 at the box office opening weekend. Number 10. For perspective, number one that weekend, opening that weekend, was Darkman with
which is a great movie in its own right.
The Ghost came in at number 2 in its 7th week. Flatliners was out. The Exorcist 3 was out. And Die Hard 2 was in its 8th week, though it came in very low at 16th place. But yeah, number 10 at the box office, just $2.2 million for The Witches. It brought in a little over $10 million domestically in its full run, which is not great. So it did not do well. It's got a 6.8 on IMDb, and that's what we're talking about this week. So, Ray, this movie was something that you really wanted to look at, and I was curious, just from your perspective, what caught your eye that made you want to add this one to the list?
Okay, so it's definitely fun and a little spooky, it's the spoopy kind of movie where it's a little scary as a child, but you still end up loving it. You grow up with it and then you're good. And you just have fond memories of it. And this is definitely one of those. It's a cute little film. It's got scary villains and consequences, but it's still a little fun. I suggested it since we are doing a whole month of Halloween-y type stuff. And when I went back in early September to create the Halloween challenges for the Screen Heroes podcast forum, this movie was suggested by everybody I talked to for like horror, spoopy, Halloween-y stuff. So, and then I also suggested it because the remake comes out this week, and I thought it'd be fun for us to watch this just to remind ourselves, and then also on our own, just kind of watch that and compare.
Fair enough. Well, let's kind of get things rolling then. This was my first viewing of the movie. Ryan, had you seen it before?
So I thought I had, but man, if I did, I like pushed every memory of it out of my brain. I think I remember reading the book more than I remember this movie. Because I remember plot points, but like none of the actors and none of the scenes were familiar to me at all, which is really weird because a lot of these Henson movies from this time period were like, you know, top of the food chain for me. And so for me to not remember this is very weird, but it made it fun because this was like watching it for the first time if it wasn't. So,
well, this was definitely my first viewing. I had never read the book, so I really knew very little going into this. The only thing I knew about the movie was the one photo that is actually Ray's background, if you're watching the live stream, that goes around the internet of what I had always thought was a goblin type creature of some kind. I didn't realize, I didn't realize it was Angelica Houston, and B, I didn't know it was supposed to be a witch. But that's all I knew from the movie was that shot. So I went into this very blind, and I just, like, I definitely get why it wasn't popular, because it takes 50 minutes before anything of any real supernatural witchy type stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was so much exposition and, like, explaining everything about these witches before you even see one.
Yeah, like, especially because we watched this Sunday night, and then last night on Monday night we decided to watch Hocus Pocus again because we really love it. And I paused the movie at the 5 minute mark. I go, we're 5 minutes in, and there's already been more magic and witchy stuff than in all of the witches.
Fact.
So, like, I was having a hard time with this early on in the movie. Like, I was just waiting for something to happen. I was waiting to see a witch, to have some magic occur, or whatever. And because Jim Henson's name is on this, and the Jim Henson Company was involved, I'm, like, trying to figure out where they're involved, you know? Because there's nothing in the first half of this movie that is puppetry or prosthetic work or anything like that. And I was just very caught off guard by the first half of the movie.
Yeah, it was slow.
Mm-hmm.
Once it picked up, it was good. And
yes,
much better. But yeah, you know, everything that happened in the first half was just exposition for the second half, and that felt a little wasted.
So I really liked the story of Erica. I always did. The way that the witches, like, kill you has always been really creative to me. And the Erica story is probably my favorite part of the movie because of how unique and yet how tragic it is. To me, it made the witches fairly threatening. So the Erica part is just one of my favorites. And that's at the very beginning.
Yeah, and then that doesn't ever, like, pay off. You don't see any kids put in paintings. You don't see anything relating to that ever again. So, I guess when the witches walk in and they tap on the painting, it's like, okay, there's a throwback to it. But that's really the only, at least that I remember.
No, yeah, you're right.
That. So that was weird. They could have, like, saved a whole bunch of time and done something else related to mice.
Well, because I expected either to see a kid pulled into a painting using some cool special effects, right? Mm-hmm. Or kids let out of the painting using cool special effects, right? One of those two things I expected to happen.
Like Jumanji, yeah. Like the kid comes, the person comes back out after being in there for so long.
Right. And I thought that would have been really cool. You know, there could have been some cool visuals for that, or we could have been sucked into the painting, with one of the kids in the movie as a viewer and seeing what that looks like. There was a lot of, like, that was the most interesting concept in the movie for me, was the idea of the kids being in the painting, and they still age and they move around. Like, I want to know what that looked like for them. And yeah, it never pays off.
But then also the scene where the witches, like, go up and tap on the girl in the painting.
Yeah.
She then disappears. So did these witches, like, time that perfectly so that the kid would die?
Maybe they killed her. Maybe that was like some type of part of the spell.
I mean, I don't know. It's just really weird that they showed the witches tapping and then they showed the disappearance as if it would have some significance, but it doesn't at all.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in this movie. A lot of things that happen that are just not really significant in the end of the movie. There's no payoff or anything like that.
Well, and there's some stuff going on in the background that, like, I'm not sure if I just didn't catch as well as was intended or was just really poorly alluded to. Like, Mr. Stringer, who's played by Atkinson, he's having, like, an affair with his maid, with one of the, well, not his maid, but with one of the house cleaning people, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought so.
But why? But, like, what's the end game of that? Like, what's the point of that whole, like, them showing these things happening?
I mean, none. for all Right. Like, for all I know, they're both single people, and this is like a totally consensual relationship, and like, whatever. Like, I don't know. I have no idea.
And the only reason why it's kind of forbidden is because he's her boss.
Yeah. Right. That's the only like really nasty part of it, but.
But like, it's hinted at so little. It just, nothing ever comes of it, that it just seems like, why is it even in there?
Right.
My thought is that I don't remember how long the book is, but I'm guessing the book is not very long, and that they really had to pad stuff out. And that's probably part of the reason why the whole first half is just exposition, because a book can do that. A book can have just exposition for multiple chapters, and that's fine because it's not paced like a movie. You might only read one chapter a night, you know? So, but a movie can't do that. And I feel like they just didn't realize that when they were making this movie.
Yeah. The book's only 208 pages.
There is some storytelling issues that I feel like a director nowadays would know what to do with. So I am more hopeful for the remake. I do like that in this one, you have a narrator. Chris Rock plays an older version of the Lucas character, and he's narrating as past tense. And I think that's like absolutely fantastic. That's a much better way to show stuff, but also get some of that exposition that you needed.
So I will say in chat, we have a really good point about the Stringer maid story, and that's it leads to the scene where he goes to kiss her neck and there's rat hair on her neck, and it is a great moment in the movie. I like that moment, and you can't really do that without like there being something already there, so I think that's the answer. It just wasn't handled as well as maybe it could be.
Yeah, why do we need so much about the stupid relationship between them for that? You could have just had a second of something, or a few seconds of something ahead.
It could have definitely been done better, whatever. But I think Marcy and chat's right. I think that's why it's in there.
So talking about the remake, I did watch the trailer for the remake right before we started, because I knew we were going to want to talk about that. I'll say that from what I saw, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be worse than the original right away.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, Anne Hathaway is great, but she does not have the presence of Angelica Houston at all. Like, it she comes across too nice. Whereas Angelica Houston she's intimidating.
It's and true.
The Grand High Witch or whatever the character is, that has to be an intimidating role, and Anne Hathaway did not feel like she had that. The other thing that stands out to me really a lot is the effects. It looks like it's all CG in the new one. And I think that the practical effects in this movie actually hold up really well. I don't even think there's one effect off the top of my head that stood out to me as bad. The blend between using real mice, trained mice, and the puppeteered mice was great.
It was pretty really well done. Well.
Yeah. And then all the makeups and stuff looked great. I mean,
yeah, I'm with you there, 100%. I'm with you there.
It all CGI is going to water it down a lot.
And that's something we've talked about so many times. You know, if you do good practical effects the first time, it's going to look good, in this case, 30 years later. It just does. And like Angelica Houston's character, like that, her Grand High Witch look, I mean, it took 8 hours to get her into that makeup, but man, is it worth it? She looks so great. And the fake human face prosthetics that they made.
Yeah, they looked great.
Right? Like, they look really...
You know what they did is it's just a life cast of her that they painted and cut into a mask, which is genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it worked. Like, and that's the thing. It looked good. It looked right. And, you know, lots of other aspects of the witches, like their hands and their, you know, and everything going on with their faces. Like, it all looked creepy and gross. And, like, those parts of the movie I thought were really good.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I should have known it was Henson Studios right away, because like when she starts peeling her face off, I went like, is this a kid's movie? That looks freaking graphic, man. That looks gross. And like, even as an adult, that's like, that's nasty. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I could see why this movie would give kids nightmares, and maybe why I blacked it all out of my memory. I mean, their makeup was nasty looking. The like all the witches with like the nasty shit on their heads, mm-hmm. From the wigs. I mean, the kids, the scene where the kid turns into the fucking mouse.
That yeah, was where he's like spasming.
Yes, and he's like yeah. half makeup and like half mouse. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a shame because like you have to basically freeze frame it, but there's some incredible prosthetic work in that transformation, yeah, but it goes by like so fast.
A half second. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame. It's that's where like some of that work is a little thankless because the average person's not paying that close attention. And when this movie came out, you know, there weren't, you know, freeze frame type technology. That wasn't really a thing. And so a lot of that work was just missed that at least we can see now.
Right.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, as an adult watching this, it's super obvious that this was a Jim Henson piece of the time because everything they did, including Ninja Turtles, had some really messed up stuff in it. You know, Casey Jones squishing Shredder. I mean, that's straight up murder, bro.
Well, yeah, when Luke changes, and it's not as graphic of a change, but when he does, and all the women just like go after to stomp him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the one witch getting stomped and exploded.
Like, that's some gross stuff, man. Like, it's a PG film, but that's intense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, that probably contributed to the movie not doing very well.
Maybe.
That's you know, possible.
Word of mouth. People are probably like, this is not a good kids movie.
It's a good point.
It's weird. It is. Okay, let me ask you guys if you saw this too, because maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like when they're in the ballroom and they're doing like this witch meeting, it's like 60% dudes in drag.
The back,
in that
yeah.
meeting.
It is a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, we
of
noticed that pretty much everybody from the middle to the back rows are men in drag.
What was the reason for that, do you think? Was that just to like make the witches seem more grotesque or
yeah.
something?
I think the idea is to make them unattractive. And I think the best way
be
to make
a super big problem today.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think that would go over well anymore. No.
Yeah, it would not.
And maybe that's not what it was. Like, maybe it was simply about. You could, there was just twice as many people available if you cast both men and women. And most of them don't, they don't, hardly any of them have speaking roles. So, you know, they're just extras in the back. So,
yeah, but I mean, it's really obvious. And maybe that's because we're now watching it, you know, in Blu-ray quality or 4K quality or whatever. But I don't know, man. I feel like that would have been obvious in 1990 also.
I agree with you, but yeah. I mean, I don't know as to the why.
Yeah, that's a weird, nowadays, that's a very weird place to be in, doing stuff like that.
It's an odd statement that you're making, to be completely honest, and it does not age well.
No, it's very weird. But, mm-hmm. I mean, 1990, you have to take it for when it was made, and it was a piece of the times, and that's the way, I'm assuming they wanted to make their witches more grotesque, so hey.
Right.
But I mean, to be fair, in 1990, the movie didn't do well anyway. So maybe it did bother some people. And you know, maybe the fact that some of the intensity was a little much for PG. It just, there was not really a good audience for it. Maybe that was the problem.
That could be.
It's true.
Now there's some other stuff in here that like, I think is the result of, I don't know. I want to say it's bad directing, but maybe it's just bad writing.
There was some really bad directing stuff that we could definitely talk about too.
I mean, sticking with the ballroom, Luke being hidden as long as he is just completely unbelievable.
Yeah, and when they said every witch can smell kids like through walls and stuff, how are they not all like going crazy this whole time?
Yep.
I don't know. And he's like, he's looking through these giant slits with his shiny glasses. He bumps the thing multiple times.
His mice are like crawling all over the place.
Yeah. And nobody's noticing any of it. And like, I'm just, the longer that went on, the more annoyed I got.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Cause like even the Grand High Witch isn't noticing that this is going on.
And she's supposed to be the most talented, most powerful, most evil.
Where did they get all this money, by the way?
It's a good
question. There's so much money. She said she was going to give each of them enough money to buy a high-end candy shop.
By offering 3 to 4 times what they were worth.
Yeah. I don't think that's a good business model, A. So,
well, they're not in it for business.
Right, but she had to make all that money somewhere. So I would assume she has a good idea of how businesses work.
My only thought is that she's incredibly old and has collected that money over centuries.
And now's the time to spend it all.
I mean, maybe that's what her plan's been, right? Like if she's, let's say she's 400 years old or something, you know, she would have stuff that has appreciated in value and in a great way.
She bought Google stocks 400 years ago. And it's just,
And she saw this as an opportunity. We can now take a country. I don't know. I mean, the whole plan for me falls apart because like, what's the rest of the world going to think when all of a sudden an entire country just doesn't have any more children?
It's a little weird.
Yeah. Their end game is a little ridiculous. I feel like, now maybe because it's a kid's movie and a kid's book, but I know Dahl is a very messed up man in the head, mm-hmm. that they would have had a better chance like farming the children.
You explain that?
Nope.
I don't know what you mean by farming the children.
Because they don't want the children. Like that's the thing that confuses me here is they just want to get rid of children.
Right.
Altogether.
But, and maybe this is my own misunderstanding about what witches are, but weren't the witches at some point just regular people that decided to become witches?
Yeah, you'd think so.
They don't really explain that, do they?
Right? So, like, at some point, if they get rid of all of the children, let's say they're successful, then what? They all die out eventually, right?
I don't know. I mean, witches like Scientology, where if you contribute enough money, then you get purple eyes?
Maybe.
Couldn't tell you.
At what point do you have to get a wig and your head starts getting rashy and you turn bald and your feet turn into squares?
I don't know. Like that's the thing that's a little bit confusing.
Yeah, the whole thing is a little confusing.
Yeah, because they have to. I can't believe that every witch can just live forever. Maybe the Grand High Witch has a way to do it. But even if it's 500, 600 years, at some point the witches die out. And if there's no children, there's no new witches. And right. So that's it. It's the end of the road. Right. Sure. And so like, they're not using them as resources. It's not like they were collecting the rats to do something with, you know, to make them.
Maybe their ultimate goal was to put them all on like those little mouse wheels and power the entire world with.
This is where the idea of the Matrix came from.
Yeah, exactly. This was an early concept.
So I do want to say like, I am completely thrilled that, little Luke was super okay with just being a mouse for the rest of his life. He was like, all right, let's do this. We got nothing else to do.
You mean Bruno, right?
No, Luke. Luke was totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, I'll be okay. I don't mind being a mouse.
He's like, Grandma, I'm good. Meanwhile, she's crying herself to sleep every night because she's lost her son and her daughter-in-law and her only grandson is now a rodent with a much shorter life expectancy, but hey, he's cool with it.
Another really fucked up thing. The Grand High Witch straight up tries to kill the grandma by giving her too much sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts her into basically a sugar coma, a diabetic woman. That is messed up, man.
It is.
Did they ever explain?
But also confusing because, like, shouldn't she just have some type of spell or potion or power?
We don't really see any spells through the whole movie.
No.
But did we ever get an explanation? Maybe I missed it, of how the grandma knows the Grand High Witch?
They've had some type of interaction in the past. And they're adversaries. That word was used, an old adversary or whatever she said.
Yeah.
So like, is she like a witch hunter? Because I want to watch that. That's
Van
much
Helsing
more interesting.
Style.
Well, I imagine if she knows all this stuff about witches and she knows that her friend Erica was taken as a child, then, you know, maybe she is an adversary to the witches. But that's inconsistent for me because at the beginning of the movie, she says that she's never seen the Grand High Witch, that she doesn't know what she looks like.
Maybe she didn't know that that was the Grand High Witch. Because it's not like she wears a uniform or something that calls it out, you know? Because like if I'm a kid, right? Let's put yourself in that universe for a minute. You end up in an altercation with an actual witch. You're probably not going to assume it's like the witch.
Right.
I mean, if she looks like that thing, then I'm going to be like, that's probably a high ranking witch official.
I mean, I assume like the face was on and everything. Because Angelica Houston looks like a totally normal person, right? So it's not like you would think anything of it.
She just has a really weird German accent.
Right.
Sure. She's great, by the way. Lately, yeah. I watched both Addams Family movies in the past couple weeks, or when I was on my home time. I watched the Addams Family movies. And this, and she's really good. I never really appreciated her as an actress, but I've watched 3 movies in the last month with her, and they've all been just, I mean, this movie wasn't great, but it was, she was good in it for sure.
That's fair.
Anyway, I agree. I feel like I underappreciated her, and so I'm enjoying revisiting some of her works.
No, I really love her. So I complete agreement. She's just wonderful.
We didn't get to find out how many penises each of the witches has, so that's right. That's inconsistent with Jim Henson's you know,
production group.
Normal go, but whatever, you know.
So I do want to talk about the end of the movie where what's her name,
the assistant,
is that Irvine?
I don't know.
Miss Irvine. She just shows up at the end in a really nice Mercedes and saves the day.
Mm-hmm. She chooses to be a good witch.
Yeah, this is the lead into Wizard of Oz. This is the prequel to Wizard of Oz.
She's the good witch.
Yeah.
It's just like, don't get me wrong. I get that she was annoyed that she was basically kept on the outs and she quits and all of that. But they didn't play up the spite, right? They didn't play up that she was doing it out of spite because she was treated poorly. It's just all of a sudden, I'm a good witch.
Yeah.
I feel like there's got to be a director's cut of this somewhere where like a lot of this shit is explained because there's just so much that it looks like they're trying to set up and just never pays off. I feel like they had to have known that. Somebody had to have said something. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. It would have been a lot better had, you know, she had a bigger role and not just in the background.
If it paid off.
That ending is not in the book. The book has a sad ending. It doesn't have the happy ending. Dahl did not like the happy ending. Dahl was pretty pissed about the whole sorcerer, what they call a sorceress, but I guess it's just a good witch, whatever. In the book, long story short, Luke figures out how long mice live and realizes that he and his grandma will die at roughly the same time. So everything's fine.
That is fine.
That sounds like Roald Dahl, yeah.
Yeah.
So if that's not proof that all the kids in Willy Wonka get totally screwed at the end, I don't know what is.
Telling you, like, his family found other drafts of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and there were more kids in there, and they just, like, flat out were murdered.
Roald Dahl just hated kids.
Yeah.
Seriously, it really seems that way. Especially since, like, this movie, there's no explanation. Like, okay, witches hate kids. Okay.
Because they smell like dog crap.
But I need a little bit more, you know, why you want to, you know, just literally murder all of them.
Do you hate dog crap, Derek?
Not enough to murder the dogs.
I mean, I'm not saying that kids smell great all the time. But
you know from experience.
My baby smells pretty amazing. I'm waiting for like her to get a little older and start smelling poorly.
Oh yeah, that's coming.
It's just a weird movie, and you've got Atkinson, who like I don't know how to see him as a serious actor.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever seen him in a non-Bean role. So when he started talking, I was like, "What is that coming out of his mouth?"
And,
like,
you guys have never seen The Lion King?
What?
He's Zazu.
Okay.
Is he?
But,
yes.
Yeah. You just like blew my mind. This is like when I found out Uncle Phil was Shredder.
Yeah, he's Zazu.
But like, you know what I mean though? What? Like this was like him in his human form.
doing
a relatively straight role. And it's nothing, it's no knock on him because it's not his fault that I only know him from his later work. So it's hard for me to put myself in the mindset of this. And I don't know, I had a hard time taking him seriously.
I get it. Somebody so associated with one role, it's really difficult to see them as anything else. And truth be told, like, I associate him with Mr. Bean, as well as him in Rat Race, where he plays like an eccentric foreigner with narcolepsy. So he's
my favorite role of his.
That movie is underrated. It is not that great, but as
the one with Seth Green.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I never saw it, but it has a hot air balloon, right? I remember the trailer.
Yeah. It's incredibly fine. Wacky, and it's got like John Cleese and Whoopi Goldberg, and the two of them are phenomenal.
How could it not be good with that cast?
Well, it's fun. Those two are pretty great. So yeah.
It's a totally silly nonsense film.
John Lovitz and Kathy Najimy are in it. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, and they still didn't make a good movie. That's
I'm not going to go out and say it's bad. I just, it's not, there's no substance to it. It's just super silly and off the wall.
Right. That's it. There's zero substance to that film. It's just nonstop, like, silliness.
I enjoy it. Like, it's not winning any Oscars, obviously, but I think it's a fun, you know, hour and a half or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know. So I want to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll provide our final thoughts and wrap things up for this week. Sound good, guys?
Yep.
All right, we will be right back. All right, and we're back. We've been talking The Witches of 1990. Do you guys have any final thoughts on the movie, or are there some interesting facts that we can discuss if you're so inclined?
No.
I don't know any interesting facts about this movie.
Well, there's two that I think you'll find interesting, Ryan. First, this was actually the last movie Jim Henson personally oversaw.
Yeah, he did work on Ninja Turtles also, which I think also came out in 1990. But he wasn't like an executive producer or anything on it. So
right.
Yeah.
Yep. And then at the end of the movie, when they're back at grandma's house and Luke's got that whole contraption built all over the place. Did you notice the tower like building?
Yeah, it was the ghost, real Ghostbusters ghost firehouse.
I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, because when I saw that, I looked over to my girlfriend. I was like, is that the Ghostbusters firehouse? And then it showed the interior. I was like, oh my gosh, it is.
So yeah,
that was great.
I thought that was good to know. Dahl hated it so much, so much so that he tried to actually have the title removed from the film and his name removed from the film, and Jim Henson talked him out of it. So we can thank Jim Henson that the movie was actually released under the real title, but Dahl was very unhappy about the movie. And the only thing he was actually seemingly happy about was Angelica Houston's casting. That was the only thing that he was really proud of.
Wow.
That it was a decision he would have made. So there's that.
Yeah.
That's intense, you know.
Cher was considered for the role as well.
She would have been great too.
Which I think would have been good. Yeah.
See that.
They definitely had a specific look they were going for.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Totally. I think, though, if you're going to do Cher, though, you got to put like a musical number in there somewhere.
That's true. Turn the whole thing into a musical. Would have been better.
I was going to say it couldn't be worse. So just think, you know, those are a couple little things.
Yeah.
Fun little facts.
Lol.
We already talked about how the ending is totally different. It's got the Hollywood ending, you know.
So. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, at the end of the day, I get why I missed this one now. It certainly isn't what I would consider to be a classic. You know, there's a lot of, I think, childhood classic Halloween-y flicks, and this one would not make my list.
I do want to bring up one thing that I just thought of that we kind of touched on earlier that I wanted to see if it stood out to you guys, too. There's this one shot. It shouldn't have been a shot that stood out to me at all, but they're outside, and they're like a shaky cam, like Evil Dead style, in front of the blue car when they're getting out of a car. It's just like this really weird, like, shaky cam shot. And then it turns to the street. It's the only one in the whole movie like that.
Huh.
I don't.
Okay.
I was like, why did they do that with this shot? There's nothing happening except people getting out of cars and walking to a building.
I'm not recalling the shot. So I can't weird. Say. Maybe they just didn't have a good way to get the camera where it needed to be.
It was just a weird choice for a way to do that. But anyway, it stood out to me. So I thought I'd ask you guys.
I will say I felt bad for Mr. Stringer because, like, not wanting to have mice in your hotel seems like a perfectly reasonable business decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of hotels don't allow any sort of animals. So.
Yeah, and then the lady, like, Karens him into letting him have the mice there.
Yeah, the grandma is hard freaking core, isn't she?
Like, I totally get it. If it was my kid and he had just lost his parents or my grandchild, I would have fought, you know, tooth and nail, to be completely honest. I really would have. But I also understand a business person wanting to keep their business, you know, hygienic.
Open.
Well, and then yeah. They don't even follow the compromise. Like, Stringer compromises. Like, all right, fine. Leave them as long as they stay in your room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they immediately take it out of the room.
So, immediately to, like, the ballroom with food and stuff, and he's trying to train them out. Like, come on, at least be somewhat respectful.
A little bit.
Yeah, it was
Luke's supposed
good.
To be our hero of the movie, and kid's kind of a jerk.
The kid and the grandma, I mean, geez, they're nice to each other, but then they treat everybody else like crap.
They're bullies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they know this lady is terrified of mice, but she opens up this purse to, like, shove them in the mom's face.
Yeah.
Look at your son. I would have started screaming, too. Why are you sticking these mice in my face?
Yeah, there's better ways to break that news, yeah. I think. But
I mean, I don't really know what a better way is, but surely that's not it.
Well, I think what you do is you have the kids start talking before you show
right.
them it's
yeah,
a mouse.
That's
right.
Definitely step one.
You know. I think that works, but yeah. Ray, as someone who, you know, had seen the movie and remembered it from before, how did it hold up for you? What do you think? Do you ever want to see it again? What?
I'll watch it again, probably with, you know, my kid, but it's not on the rewatchability list. Like Hocus Pocus, Beetlejuice, Nightmare Before Christmas, every Halloween, every year, maybe like more often than just Halloween. The witches are going to be like once in a while, maybe like once every 5-6 years, because it's just not as interesting as I remembered. The Grand High Witch, the ballroom scene, and the soup scene are the most interesting because they're, you know, the most action-packed.
Yeah,
so I'll probably watch it for those scenes, but it's just not like they could have done so much more with other spots in the film to make it more interesting.
Yeah, we didn't even mention that the kid gets his tail like cut.
Yeah,
chunk gets cut off by a carving
knife.
Yeah,
when he got turned back into a kid, what part of his body is that,
right? I was wondering that too. I was like, I mean, show me the part that's scarred.
I hope it's like a toe that he's missing or something and not something more necessary for life.
I don't know.
It would have been great if he was like missing an ear when he came back. He's just like got this one half ear.
I guess they didn't want to go quite that dark.
Yeah, right. Okay, because that's so much darker than everything else in the movie.
It's just a chunk of his butt.
Right, yeah. He just got like one flank that's...
Zach in chat said what we're all thinking. It's his penis. Yes.
Yeah, that was.
The tail is in the back. The
right, but I mean, it just kind of slides front. Forward.
Thank
I,
you,
I
Ray,
know.
for the anatomy lesson.
Oh goodness!
It's like the penis is like the tail of the man.
They perform the same function, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. That's
I don't know a lot about mice, but
but I do know that.
All right. Well, that I think is where we're going to stop things this week. Sounds it's a good note to end on. Next week, we're going to have one more Halloween-y type discussion as we close out Halloween month, because I love October and I love Halloween so much. It's my favorite. So I don't know what that's going to be yet. We're going to have to decide. We'll have to talk about it. We'll figure it out. We'll be here for you next week. Sure. Ray, if people want to reach out to you and talk about the witches or some other Halloween-y stuff like Hocus Pocus, how can they find you?
I'm Siren Ray at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And Ryan, if they want to talk to you about stuff other than the witches, where can they find you?
Talk to Rachel and Derek instead. Listen to her. No, you can find me at Buster Props, Facebook and Instagram and stuff. I don't really post much, but that's where I'll read it at least.
And I am the Star Trek dude. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook. We are Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network. Follow us on Twitter at Screen Heroes Pod or heroespodcasts.com. We also have our Facebook page, Heroes Podcast Network, and our Facebook group where we have news and discussions and polls and tournaments and memes and lots of great stuff. Screen Heroes Podcast on Facebook. You can subscribe to the show pretty much everywhere now. We're on Stitcher, we're on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, you name it, you got it. Subscribe to the show and catch our latest episode as it premieres. Thank you for listening. We'll find you next week. Happy Halloween.